Friday, Terry Majda, Chof Aleph, Chof Shnei Vav, Rabbi Shua Jacobson.
Morning, everyone. The other day I was talking with someone, and I mentioned in passing the idea of psule edus, people who aren't kosher for edus. And in our discussion I mentioned that gamblers, Skaki Bakubia, are apostle for edus. The fellow who I was speaking to said to me, I do that, I gamble. Am I apostle aid?
Yeah.
He was worried maybe he would be called, I don't know, to give edus at some point. Wanted to know, is he apostle aid? So it seems that this is, we see in the Poskim, this is a very common question. People don't even necessarily realize that there's anything wrong at all. There's any shaila bichlal of gambling, and he was amongst those people. And just by way of background, it's not a new question bichlal. Aside from in the Chumash, where we see that there was a girl which was used for the two seirim and for splitting up the oritz, but there was in the Gemara a very interesting bet. It's according to one sefer, says the first recorded bet for entertainment. And that bet was, can we get Hillel angry? Right? The Gemara in Shabbos Lamed Aleph, Shemur Ezeh Zev, Omru, Komi Sheyelech, Yachnit Es Hillel. He'll get 400 zuz for getting Hillel angry, and one says, I'm going to do it, and off he went. And at the end, Hillel told him, it's worthwhile, Kedai, that you lost the money and you lose it again rather than getting Hillel angry. So that was the first bet for entertainment. Now let me tell you, this was a very interesting bet, a very unusual bet that he played, that he took. And he is a fellow who has a business. He's not a professional bettor, has a business. And every year at the beginning of the football season, he takes out several bets. This year, he made possibly the biggest bet of his life, because amongst his many teams that he placed his bets on, he bet on Leicester City. Now, Leicester City this year is a football club. In case people don't know Leicester City, it's a football club. They were very underrated. And the bet was in the betting houses at the beginning of the season, 5,000 to 1. This fellow, he got 3,000 to 1. He bet £10, so that's a £30,000 bet. Now, just to put things in perspective, most bets on football teams would be more like 5 to 1, 3 to 1, 2 to 1, 1,000 to 1. Well, there was a bet this year that maybe won't mean anything. There's a Goyish singer who died in the 1980s called Elvis. And if you could find him alive this year, you got 1,000 to 1. Yeah? So to be 5,000 to 1 is to say a very, they really didn't think they were going to win. And in fact, as people may know, they did win. So this was a bet worth between 30 or 50,000 pounds. This fellow got 3,000 to 1. So now I asked him what turned out to be a very crucial question. I said to him, why are you doing this? What is the point of placing these bets? You have a business, you have Parnassa, what's this all about? So he said to me, well, what I do is I take out, let's say, his few bets. I don't even keep the tickets. The first thing I do, I take them to various tzedakahs, and I give them to the tzedakahs. I never see the winnings. I never win a penny. In fact, every year, through these bets, he makes for tzedakah a nice sum of money, and he never sees, never passes through his hands. So he wanted to know three things. Number one, is he pasul edus? This kind of betting is a very specific case of betting, we'll see. It doesn't fit the typical bill of how people place a bet. Number two, he wanted to know, is what he's doing usur? Now you might say, obviously, if he's pasul edus, it's usur, the two go together, we'll see, it's not so pashut. And number three, is he giving dirty money to tzedakah? He's got his problems, but aside from that, or maybe he doesn't, he's now going and giving money to tzedakah. So should he be machshil tzedakah by giving this kind of money from betting, from gambling? So just by way of hakdama, this is a very, very complicated subject, and I'm not really going to do it justice. As in the course of preparing the shiur, I saw an incredible amount of material. I'm going to try to stick to the mahalach, which I think is the way it comes out in halacha, but there's no shortage of rishonim writing on the subject, achrenim writing on the subject, but my path is to try to stick close to halacha, but I'm not trying to say halacha lemaisa. Everyone should please ask their own shailas. I did speak to two or three dayanim in Choshen Mishpat to make sure I didn't stand up here and say anything that would confuse people, but it's not meant to be halacha lemaisa. In order to appreciate the subject, we have to spend about 10 minutes seeing the Mishnah and the Gemara, which gives us an introduction to Mishachek Bakubia, to gambling. Without that, we won't really understand how the halacha comes out at all. The Gemara is found, or the main Gemara is found, in Sanhedrin on Chaf Dalet Amud Beis. The Mishnah is talking about psulim for edus midirabbanan. Right, we're not talking about people who are doing rishus midiraisa, and it says ve'elahena psulin amisachik bakubia, people who throw dice, ve'malva beribis, people who loan with interest, mafrichiyoinim, people who race birds, which we'll see that's quite similar, racing birds and rolling dice, that could be two versions of the same thing. So machlokas in the Gemara, ve'soichay shvius, and people who deal in shvius produce. Rabbi Yehuda says in the Mishnah about these Mesachim B'Kubia, Amos I, when are these B'Kubia postulates? B'zman she'enam umnos elahu, when they only have this job. This is their only job. Aval yesh lahem umnos she'loihu k'sherim. But if they have another job, they'd be kosher. So that's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. So the Gemara asks, what are they doing so bad? Why are they postulates? My kavit. So there are two opinions. There's Rami Bar Chama, and he says, Dehu asmachta, v'asmachta lo kanya. So we have to explain, what is an asmachta? Asmachta, roughly translated, means I'm leaning on something, I'm relying on something. What does that mean? A person, when he places the bet, he thinks as follows, I'm going to win. Because if I thought I was going to lose, I would never place this bet. So his confidence, even though it's a funny kind of a confidence, is that things will go his way. Gamblers, if you speak to them, they're sure, when you're just about to place the bet, they say, this time I'm going to win. Right? They don't think this time I'm going to lose, or maybe I'll lose, because they're going to lose. What are you doing? So they believe they're going to win. That's an asmachta, and it says loy kanya. So Rashi explains these two ideas. When you play and you lose, you're not giving the money away willingly. You never had das to give your money. He was relying on something which may or may not ever come to pass. That was what his mindset was. Remember, when you have a kinyan, you have to have gemiras das. You can't say, I don't really want to give the money. You have to, yes, want to give the money. Sure, I'm going to win this time, and yet, sometimes they beat him. Rashi and Shabbos says, if he would have known at the beginning that he would have lost, he never would have agreed to do the whole thing. So there's a chesoron in his gemiras das. He doesn't necessarily want to give the money, therefore when he comes to losing, the question is, what have you done by taking his money? So Rashi says, you know what you've done? When you take his money, you're like a gazlan. Because he didn't really want to give you the money. You took his money, didn't want to give. You're holding gazela in your hand. Now, I'm making it sound pretty extreme, but it's not as bad as all that, because the Gemara in Shavuos says, this is not real gazela. What is it? It says, Mesachek bakubi medereisa mechsi chazi. On a deraisa level, it was a good kinyan. The money is yours to keep. But, rabbanan hu de pasluhu. But by taking his money, the Rabbanan made a gazeir, the Rabbanan, this kind of activity, it's ke'ein gazela. It's like you stole it from him because he didn't really have the intention to give you the money in the first place. But midiraisa, it's good enough.
How can the stocker take the money if it's
a that's going to be very much, we'll come to it. Rav Sheshis is the second daya. Rav Sheshis says, no, there's no problem with asmachta. He says, kol ki hai gavna, playing with dice, love asmachti. Kinyan is good. They're not busy with the yeshuv of the world. What does that mean? So he's not involved roughly in productive activity. He's spending his time, he's wasting his time with something which is meaningless. But he said, the Ritva says as follows. This is all leading to why he's apostle of aid. The Ritva says, I'll paraphrase, someone who gambles doesn't properly understand the effort that goes into making a livelihood. Easy coming, easy going. As he could easily, and since that's true, he could quickly undervalue the losses he's causing by false aides. He stands in Basedin. He thinks, oh, say he'll make £100,000 tomorrow, because that's how he makes his money. He makes his money quickly, he loses his money quickly, so he's likely to stand up and say shkorim in Basedin, because money is something that's easy to come by. So we can't trust his aides. But so we've got these two possibilities. Either we have a problem with asmachta, or he's not doing things with his time that make him lend himself to being a reliable aid.
Why should he be posel aedis for kedushin as well?
Yeah, so that's interesting. Which aedis is he posel for? I understand your question. It's a good question. Right now we're just going to focus on, at least talking dinei mominos. I hear your questions. Fair question.
You can buy a raffle ticket.
We'll come to raffle tickets.
You're supporting them with their kids.
Okay. So the Gomorrah asks, these are the two reasons, but my benayu. What's the difference between them? The Gomorrah answers, umnus achrisi. If the man has a different job, if he's got a regular job, and he does these things, so according to the first daya, Rav Sheshet says, he needs to be busy with something worthwhile. He is. He's got a regular job. The second daya says, it's a problem of smachta. You're taking stolen money. So it doesn't help you that you have a good job if you're taking up other people's money, kain gazela. What does that help you? It's still stolen money. Now, the Gemara has a second way, which I'm going to summarize, that really this idea of Gemara, umnusa achrisi, has another job, will help to keep his... He will keep his edus kosher even if the problem is an asmachta. I just asked you, how can it help you to be a kosher aid? You've got stolen money, very nice, you have another job, what will it help? But there are two answers to that question. Number one is the answer the Mechaber is going to say in a minute. He says as follows, since you no longer need the money, because you have a regular job, you're self-employed, you're no longer nene from avik gezel. You no longer need the money, the gambling winnings don't really mean very much to you. So Mamela, we don't think you're corrupt and you're chasing after money. You don't need this money. It's just something. It's something on the side. So as far as Adis goes, we can rely on you. We're not saying you're a tzaddik. We're not saying you don't have a problem with gazela biyadai. But as far as reliability, you're reliable. The Radvaz says, going back to the beginning of the story, that some people don't even realize they're doing anything wrong. That when a person gambles, a lot of people think there's no question here. So in terms of Adis, he's not involved, as far as he's concerned, in anything. He doesn't know he has any gazela. There's nothing from his perspective. He has also zmorah heterim, why he's not doing anything wrong. So we're not going to passel him from this such a dachistic mistake. So in terms of dini edis, he'll be okay. Now, the Mechaber is paskins in Lama Dal and Hilchas Edis, like the first svara that we said. So listen carefully, you'll see how they both are in his words. Masachek b'kubia v'hu shalotei umnois elahu. A professional gambler, this is his only job, he's posoleitis. Hoyl v'eina oisek b'yeshuva shal oylam. Since he's not doing anything productive, he doesn't have any other job. Harei zeh v'chezkes sh'oichol mena kubia shehu avak gezel. He is eating from the profits of his gambling, which is a type of durabanan gezel. So we see he holds that the problem is that the kinyan wasn't a good kinyan. There was something lacking midirabanan in the kinyan. Then the Shulchan Aruch lists, you shouldn't think it's just dice players. He says this includes people who play other games, other betting games. He says people play with klipi rimonim. I don't know how you play with pomegranate skins, but people played. And not only yonim, not only dove racing, but also racing animals and chayas and oifos. Anything you care to race, it's all the same thing. Kol HaKoidim Chaveru, they say, whoever gets across the finish line first, they're the winner. These are all the same. V'kol k'yotze v'schoik zeh, hu shalotia lo umnus elahu schoiku. This is all a problem if he doesn't have another job. So we've just put together two things. We've said, number one, he's got a problem of gezel. And number two, if he has another job, then he's koshalaitis. So that is that sheet that we just said. It helps to have another job, even though you've got an issue of gezel derabanan.
Does the job have to bring a panosa?
So we're going to come. The drisha asks that, and we'll come back to what kind of job you need. Okay. So now, the Gemara explains, why would you think that there's a difference between playing dice and racing birds, racing animals? And this is relevant because you'll see how much is included in this din. It says, if we would have only taught you tzrichi, he only turned the title b'das atzmoi, that he is playing on his own dice playing ability, he doesn't know how to play dice well. But he says, hosam hu delo gomra machni, da'omar kimli b'nafshi diyodit fei. He's so confident in his dice playing because he's going to win, he says, I'm definitely going to win. So he won't have gemiras das. If I told you b'das yoyne, a stupid bird, I should rely on the bird that it's going to do what it needs to do. I can't rely on that, so that wouldn't be the same assumption. But he told b'das yoyne, and if he says, well, I trust that I'm going to get my bird to win, why? Because they could make noises to their birds to get them to race the way they wanted. They could call to the birds. He says, I can make the best noises. I'm going to get this bird to do my tricks. But to rely on dice, how can I be sure the dice will come for the way I want? So we see from this that the person is playing games that involve not total chance, that could be as well, but chance and also a certain amount of skill. He thinks he has some skill at calling birds and rolling dice and whatever he's doing. So we're not just talking about totally random games. The same halachas are true even if you have some sort of skill, a combination of skill and chance. So the starting point for the Svardim is actually quite chomer. I don't know if the Svardim in the room, but the Mechaber says, like we just said, that Mesachek B'Kubia have a problem of Ke'ein Gezela, and it shouldn't be done. Although, if he has another job, he'd remain a kosher aid. But Gezel, the Rabbanim, there is. And in fact, Rav Avadya Yosef, he takes this Pesach so far to say that he holds that playing lotteries, buying lottery tickets, is also Aser. Now, there are Cholkim on Rav Avadya, but I'm just telling you, for Sephardi, the Shilas are much more Chomor, because they're not going to have the Ramah Shita, who we're going to quote in a minute. But so, gambling, it doesn't. I don't know if there is a machlekas, and lotteries for Sephardim, there is a machlekas whether lotteries are allowed.
How do you make a connection between lotteries and gambling? What's a lottery?
It's very, very complicated. It would be a shear in itself. It's a good question, but maybe you'll get some of the answers as we go along near the end. But it's very, very complicated what the difference is.
You think it's a difference?
Okay, wait, you'll see. So, for Ashkenazim, it's a totally different story, because although the Ramah seems to agree, he doesn't say anything in Lamed Dalet, in Hilchas Edus, about what the Mechaber says, is if you've got another Parnassah, you'll still be kosher. But in two other places, he seems to be arguing quite clearly on the Mechaber. The one is in Shulchan Aruch Reish Zayin, Sif Yud Gimel. There he says there are different types of asmachta, all different types of asmachta. The third type, he says, which we'll see is our point here, aval im ein biyodo legamri, he has no control over the outcome, the lo biyad acherim, and the other people don't have control. That's basically, as he says, kagoyin amesachik bakubia, two people sit down to play dice or to play cards, and nobody has control over the outcome. V'kiyotzeboi, she'eni yodea im yinaseach oiloi, and he has no idea if he is going to win or not. The filo hachi hisna, he still agrees to go into this agreement. He sits down at the card table, he rolls the dice. He knows that there's no way to know if he'll win or not. Vadai gomor amakni misafik. He knew that the chances were 50-50, 60-40. He knew the whole thing was a chance. So he had that in mind, says Ramah, and he meant to make the kinyan. He meant to make the kinyan. He can't back out. He says, I wouldn't have done it if I would have known that I was going to lose. You knew what the risks were. You took your chances, and you did it with a full das. So we see that the Ramah would seem to be telling us there's no problem of asmachta, and it's possible that the only reason left, or we'll see there may be a third reason which I haven't mentioned, is that he's not oisik b'yeshuva shel olam, which we said we've sorted out by him having another job. So if you have a person with another job, it would seem so far that the Ramah would be saying gambling could be fine. But we'll see, it's not so simple. Even without the asmacht, it's possible, and this is the third reason, that the Chazal made a gezeira against gambling, that is ke'ein, it's considered ke'ein, they made a gezeira on Mesachek Bakubi because it's ke'ein gezeila. And the reason I say that is because, if you listen carefully to the words of the Ramah coming up, you'll see he never actually matters it. He uses a language which is really quite ambiguous. He says like this, in Shulchan Aruch Shin Ayin, it says, this is the Mechaber's words, Yesh Mishoimer, if you're gambling with a goy, this is the mechaber. And remember, the mechaber was machmir with a yid. He said, you're not allowed to gamble with a yid. But if you're gambling with a goy, ein boy mishum gezel. The mechaber himself, who is machmir before here, is mekel. There's no problem of this gezel derabbanin. It's all a derabbanin. The rabbanin weren't machmir when you gamble with a goy. Aval yeshva iser, but there is a different iser. What is it? Oisek b'dvarim b'talim. He calls it an isser. He doesn't say not a nice thing to do. He says an isser of being oisik b'dvarim b'talim. She'ein ruy la'adam she'asek kol yomav. A person should really be spending his life ela b'divrei chochma v'yeshuva shel oylam. A person, this is in Shin Ayin, Choshen Mishpat Shin Ayin Sif Gimel. A yid's tachlis is to be busy with divrei chochma and building the world. So we've got our jobs, we build up the community, we do what we need to do, we learn. That's a yid's job, to go and play these games. The Mechaber says, an isser of oisek b'dvarim b'talim. And then the Mechaber says, really like he said himself before, v'chalku alav, loy m'she'en apostol alim kein, ein lo umnes acheres. But you'll get out of these problems, let's say, you'll get out of some of these problems at least, by having another job. Yeah. All right? So now, said the Mechaber is makel with a goy, got the problem of oisek b'dvarim b'talim. The Ramah then comes along, and this is where he's either completely arguing or partially arguing, and this is a big machlokes. He says, aval im yesh le'umnes acheres, says Ramah, fila mischakek im Yisrael, even if you're gambling with Jews, it's a yid against a yid, ain't no puzzle. He says, now remember, the Ramah said before, there's no problem of asmachta. And he says, if you gamble with a yid, you're not puzzle. Now, we're not in the middle of Hilchas Eidus here. We're talking about Gezel the Rabbanan. And yet the Ramah is intentionally staying away from the words of saying that you've done no Isser. He says you're not puzzle. Puzzle is to do with Eidus. So that's a bit vague. And then he says, the kavar pashet haminug. The minug has already become kesvara achroina, like what I just said, lischoik bekubia. The custom has become to gamble. The ain puzzle. Again, he says, and it's no problem. He says, and you're not puzzle. Lechura meaning Eidus. You're not apostle aid. Elami she'ein loy umnus elahu. Unless he doesn't have another job. So now, the question is, what does the Ramah mean? If he means to say it's mutter, why doesn't he say it's mutter? He says there's no problem of gezel. The minhag is to do this. And what does it mean it's the minhag? Does that mean the minhag is people are doing it, but they shouldn't do it? Or the minhag is doing it is to do it, and the Ramah is giving his stempel of approval that that's the minhag, it's accepted now, go ahead. And this is a machlokes, if we'll give you some more mekaymos, not all of them, but the Aruch HaShulchan speaks about it, Rav Avad Yosef speaks about it, Ben Chai speaks about it, we'll see in Rav Moshe later, Rav Moshe Klein, they all have their angle on what is the final halach and the Ramah. But that's where everybody has to ask a Rav if they have a Havamina, we'll see the other reasons why not to. But if you just want to know what's Ramah's opinion, there's a big machlokes with the Ramah's opinion. For example, we know that the person is still oisik, b'dvarim b'talim. He's still busy with things that are... The lashon of the machaber is it's aser to do. Dvarim b'talim. Now you could say it's a musr. Maybe the machaber means musr. Maybe he means it's an isser.
Rav Yosef takes on the dev in the Beshelsim, which says that it's aser.
He says aser.
So why is he debating the Ramo? What's he debating in the Ramo? Why does he have to debate the Ramo?
He explains, because the way of the Rav Avadya is to explain opinions, even if he's not passing like them. He writes Berichas.
He always takes on the
he just quotes the Ramah because, you're right, but his way is to discuss all the shitas, even ones not lahalacha. Okay, another point which was raised is, we say, if you have another Parnassa, then for the Ramah, and even for the Mechaber, it helps. The question is, the Drisha asks, what kind of a Parnassa is good enough? What makes it? So he gives two examples. He says, imagine you've got someone on what they used to call the dole. I don't know what the new name for it is. He's unemployed, he's got money coming in, but he doesn't work. Or he's a rich Yerush. His father left him 100 million pounds. He doesn't have to do anything. He doesn't have any need for money. So on the one hand, you could say, well, he doesn't need the money. But on the other hand, he has never tasted the idea of what it means to go and work. So such a person, is he kosher leidus or not? The second example he brings is, what about a poorly paid employee? He gets minimum wage, and by the time he's paid for his bus fare and who knows what, he comes home with pennies. So now, on the one hand, he knows what it means to work very hard. But on the other hand, when he gambles, he's going to keep the money, he's going to buy something. He's not gambling just for the luxury. So let's say we've got a fellow with a regular, decently paying job, he's working hard, and he wants to make this bet on Leicester City. So let's first list what the problems might be for him to make the bet. Number one, we said that there are shitas which hold the winnings will be ke'en gezela, and that in itself is a reason to stay away. Number two, we said he's osik b'dvarim b'talim. Number three, the poskim speak about addiction. Now addiction, I don't know if you're going to find a simon, maybe you will, and Shulchan Aruch speaks about addiction, but the Rabbanim is speaking of the Metzias, people get addicted. In fact, my son was telling me there was someone a goy, used to drive for a Yiddish company between, I think it was Gateshead in Manchester, delivering something, and they used to pay him on his trip out, and they found that by the time he got back, which was like 3 hours later, he had already spent all of the money gambling. And this went on and on, and he did other crazy things, but amongst other things, the fellow was addicted. This was a whole night's work. He spent it before he's even returned from finishing the job. So that's by a goy, but unfortunately it's no different for the yidden. And I heard a story, someone said they went to buy some svarim. Someone said they're selling this svarim off cheap. So he went to look at the svarim, and they're very nice svarim, nothing wrong with them, good condition. And fine, so he bought a few. And he asked a neighbor, a friend, he said, why is he selling his svarim? You know, the beautiful svarim. Who doesn't need svarim? The fellow says he's got a gambling problem. This is how he has to pay for it. So we can't imagine that we're immune. It's not pshat that yidden don't have an addiction to things. They do have an addiction. That's a very, very chomor point. Number four is a Gemara in Avodah Zarah and Yud Ches Amud Beis, which says that we're not supposed to go to the stadiums, and the theaters, the circuses of the Goyim. So if you have a fellow who goes to the racetrack, there was a shy last from Klein in America, Menashe Klein, he wanted to go to watch the races, not to bet, just to watch. And he said to him, what about the Gemara in Avodah Zarah? These places, the Gemara has said, you shouldn't be going to them.
About football matches as well, say the same thing.
He's not talking about that.
Number five.
Moshe
of Leitzim. So Moshe of Leitzim is for all of these places. If you go to any of these places, I don't know how you could describe it. It's a nice way to describe them as a Moshe of Leitzim, probably. And if you go to Vegas, Chas V'Shalom, or places like that, what are they famous? The Mekomos of Znus. Part of the pull is they make, let's call it, for what they call it, shows to get people to come and enjoy themselves. So the Mekomos of Leitzim, the Mekomos of Znus, and they're doing it on purpose, bedafka, to make it a place that Goyim with their tithers should be Nimshach and bring their money with them. And number six, which is supposed debatable, is your Messiah Avera. That means imagine the Mafia owns some of these places, which is not so far-fetched, right? Mafia love making money easily, and if so, every pound that you put into it, you're being Messiah over Avera, and in Eretz Yisrael, you might have games or matches being played where you're encouraging people to be Mechalel Shabbos. So in England, that last point isn't so nogea. So it's not looking so good for this big bet, but there are some coolers which are mentioned. Number one, we said that some hold that Ramah meant completely mutter. That it's actually mutter, the minog means, minog is to do it and people can do it. If that's what he meant, so then you've got someone very big to be Soymechan. But if you hold that there's an issue of Gezel the Rabbanin, how are we going to get around that? So the answer to that is, there are a few different answers. One may be that most of the betting is done with Goyim in this country. So we saw, even the Mechaber says, to bet with a Goy is not going to have this problem. Avok Gezel with a Goy isn't an issue. Now, I asked someone, okay, but imagine you have the people betting, and you have 20%, Chas V'Shalom, let's say 2% Yidim betting, 98% Goyim, 2% Yidim, all the money goes into the pool, and now, when you collect your money, so you're collecting the Goyim, right? So Rav said to me, no, the money is in Batal Baroiv, we don't mevatel money. So even though you're betting with 98% Goyim, but the 2% that's Yiddish money, it could be you're getting some of that money, and that could still be Aser. But then I spoke to someone who knows a bit about how the business is run, and he said to me, that's not what happens. When you put your money in, the money becomes the property of the betting company. It's no longer everybody's money held in escrow until the big payout comes. The money belongs to the company, and when they pay out, they're paying out from their money. At that point, it's no longer the Yid's money, and you would be safe mitzad that. Unless Yidden owned the betting company. If Yidden owned the betting company, which I know one company was owned by Yidden, then you've got the same problem all over again. So you're taking Yiddish money in a bet. With one possible tzad lahakel, that most of these betting companies, believe it or not, want to lose. What do you mean they want to lose? If they always won, nobody would come and gamble with them. I mean, part of their expected losses in order to continue their gains is that we will have to lose a certain percentage of the time. If people keep losing money to us, we might as well close the shutters now. So they have a much stronger tzad to have gemiras das to give you the money than a regular bettor, because that's how they continue. And the last point, which is nogea to many, many things, so once you deal with a big betting company, the phrase that one of the Rabbanim used to describe it is, it's a regulated industry. Gambling in this country, for the most part, is a regulated industry. In some other countries, you have to place bets in little shops around the back, and people, you know, dodgy guys, and it's an ASIC to find who you're going to bet with. Here, you go onto the main street, you place a bet, they pay their taxes, everything is, so to speak, legitimate. And if once something becomes a regulated industry, then you have two things on your side. One is Dina de Malchusa. In this country, it's legal to gamble. Some countries, maybe not. And number two, we've got a power of Minhag Olam, that if people do this, Seichrim do this, this is the way that people spend their money, buy things, sell things, then again, that's another tzad to allow it. Now, I asked, many people asked me the question, what's the difference between this and the stock market, where you have futures and you have options and you have things, day traders, where you own nothing. There are ways to own portions of a company, but there are also ways to own hevel shebavolim, mamish, nothing at all, for a few seconds until you pass it on. So that's the same heter was told by a Rav for doing the stock market, although again you have the same issues, let's say, of addiction by the stock market. There are plenty of people who've lost fortunes and more, and other people's fortunes in the stock market, so it's a dangerous thing as well. Just because the government says it's okay and it's minog olam doesn't mean it's a clever thing to do. So what comes out is that if you would place a bet with another yid, that could be the biggest problem, because then many of these coolers we just don't have. When you place a bet one-on-one with a yid, so then what exactly are you relying on? Maybe the Ramah, maybe not, but you don't have the other coolers. Maybe you don't have the problem of Moshe, you probably do have Moshe Vleitzim, hopefully you don't have the Moshe Makom Znus, but you have you certainly have a handful of problems. So now, this fellow who asked me the Shaila, he has managed to run the gauntlet. He's come through many of the coolers and without the chumras. Why? Imagine he picks up the phone and he places a bet over the phone. And he calls a reputable Goyish company, which we'll assume wasn't run by the mafia. We've gotten away from most of the problems. Number one, he's betting principally with Goyim. So he said that takes care of the Kain Gazela problem. Oisik B'Dvarim B'Tatum we have not gotten around. We'll come back to in a minute. Addiction, he may very well have a problem with. Addiction and Dvarim B'Tatum, he's not gone to the stadiums, he's not gone to Moshe B'Leitzim, he's not gone to Mokum Znus, and if he goes to somebody reputable, we don't have to assume the mafia is behind it. He hasn't been Messiah over Avera. So now, how do we deal with the last two problems, Dvarim B'Tatum and addiction? So since this fellow, when he bets, he's always betting for tzedakah. He never even sees the money. He doesn't take the money and then pass it on. He buys the ticket, he hands it straight to tzedakah, and that's the end of his contact with it. So now, you could say it's not Dvarim B'Tatum. It depends on whether the ends justify the means. What I mean is, the act could be an act of Dvarim B'Tatum. This is a funny way to spend your time. But if you say the end result is that tzedakah ends up with £30,000, how can you call that Dvarim B'Tatum? Yeah, so that's the last point. The last point is whether the tzedakah can accept it or not. But let's say, as far as he's concerned, maybe he could say it's not Dvarim B'Tatum.
It's not addiction.
And well, that's the other one. And why isn't it addiction? Because he never touches the money. There's no quick thrill. There's no easy win. Because he doesn't even know if they win. He said they can do with the ticket whatever they want. I just buy the ticket, I hand it over them. If they want to sell the ticket early, they can sell the ticket early. If they want to pass it to their friends, I have no contact with it. So the idea of addiction, we say, Ein adam chotzav aloy loy, a person pashtus, the psychology is, I'm not going to be addicted to helping somebody else win. It doesn't seem the way that people's minds work. So again, he slipped through those two problems. So I asked two Rabbanim in this man's specific case, and people shouldn't be Madama Milsa the Milsa and start saying, oh, well, that's allowed and something else is allowed. They said in his specific case, that it could be that it's Mutzal Chachila to do it. Now, I just want to add that Rav Moshe was asked a similar question. Rav Moshe and Evan Ezra, Chelek Gimel, Simon Mem, was asked, Moshe was hard-pressed. So they said, we're going to make a bingo event. Now apparently bingo isn't a big English pastime, but in America it's a big thing. People pay for tickets, pay for cards, they spin some big thing with balls inside. If you get five in a row, you win, you get a cash prize. So the Moisid was going to run this event. They get all the money from the people buying the entries. And whoever wins, they win some prize money. So they asked Rav Moshe, are we allowed to make such an event to help our underfunded Moisid? So his lashon was, it's mutter, but it's a davar mechur. It's an unpleasant thing. So the question I had was, can we learn from there to this man's bet on Leicester City? The reason is because for a moisid to put their name on a gambling event, maybe that was particularly mechur, that was particularly in bad taste, because we don't want to associate Yidden with gambling in any way, shape, or form. We can avoid it. Just maybe in some communities there's no bad name with it, but in most people's minds it's not a nice thing. But Moshe Enkin, an individual who plays the bet in privacy on his phone and nobody knows what he's doing and there's no call going out about what's going on, I don't know what Moshe would have said to such a thing. But for the Moshe...
Moshe was different. Moshe was, they're taking money from Jewish people,
no,
and they're giving it to another Jewish person. They're playing the people.
Okay.
So they're taking money. Here, this man is not taking money from anybody.
So he seemed to
you can't compare it to Moshe's case, which he was asked.
So it's interesting, because it depends who the bettors were. I saw two different shaitas he was asked. There was one...
That they used the shul hall, there was... come in and
so there was a question like that. There were different shailas. One shaila was to use the shul hall, and for that he had a particular akbar. He says, Mehecha Teisa, that a shul hall, even if you built it al Tanai, that you can use it for whatever you want. And this is not included in what you should be using. But even if you go to a different location, and then he has two cases. One, I believe, were the Yiddish people betting, and one were Goyish people betting. And in both cases, he doesn't come out saying, I think it's the nicest thing he said was Ein Moichin. We don't protest against them. But he never said, this is the way forward for Moistus, how to...
I had a shale in London about the
Hold on.
I'm the car, you know what I mean?
And can you tell me afterwards? I've got 3 minutes. I'm sorry. Fine. The last question was, should the Moistus accept the money? So now, they're holding the stub, £30,000. On the other hand, you've got Rav Moshe's psak of Adavra Mechur. So we have to leave it to them to decide what's going to win and what's going to lose. I want to point out, this is probably the most negeila halacha, and that's why I wanted to just have a chance to finish. There's a Mishnah Berurah which makes gambling a little bit too close for home. So for most of us sitting in the room, we think, the last place I'm going to go is to the casino on Barry New Road. You wouldn't catch me dead in there, and you certainly wouldn't catch me alive in there. I'm sorry, apparently I've just informed people there is a casino. But Bekitzer, there... We would say, what do we have to do with gambling? If you look in the Mishnah Berurah in Simon Shin Chaf Beis, he brings a very interesting case. A father is sitting at the Shabbos table. Picture yourself there, and the kids start arguing about the chicken pieces. I want the leg, I want the breast, I want the this. That leg's bigger, that leg's bigger. Big machlekes, it bust up. In a few minutes, the tables are going to fly. So the father quickly says, no problem, I've got a solution. We're going to do a gerul. We're going to do a gerul. We'll split it according to random lots. So he takes maybe three toothpicks or something, puts them in his hand. He's talking about on Shabbos, so we're going to have Shabbos problems as well, because this is close to Mecca Chumemkar, he says. And he says, okay, one of the toothpicks is short. Whoever gets the short toothpick, they get the short leg. Yeah, and it gets longer, they get the long leg. So everything's going nicely. The children pick. Oh, it was random. Hopefully they have Yishuv Adas. Sometimes there's always people who want to do revotes, recounts. But let's say they're happy with it. So far, a happy ending. Everybody enjoys the meal. Says the Mishnah Berurah, this is a big problem. He says in Sifkat and Chaf Beis, Ilhatu Gerul, Hainu, Dami Shiska, he's got big pieces and little pieces. He says, Hainu, Dami Shiska, Begerul, Yitzel Gerul, Gedoyle, who get the big leg, Mishis Chayv, Yitzel Katana, whoever loses will get the little piece. Hu Bechal, Shikas, Kubia Mamish. He says, doing these kinds of things, who gets the big piece, who gets the little piece, that is playing dice, that is gambling. Kubi huma shemischoki ve'etzim, they used to play it with dice. For kubi hu ava gezel medivrayim, and he seems to paskin now, that is gezel durabanin, what's going on over here? She'en daiter liknoisoi bekinyan gomor, nobody really meant to give it over to the other one, wilhachi osser. Va'af b'chol, even on a weekday, not only because of Shabbos problems, because of Mechel Chumembar, but even on a weekday. Now you'll say, what's going on here? Gezel gomor. So really the Mishnah Berurah means this is when you're sitting with your neighbor. But when you're sitting with your own children, since you own everything, you don't have such a big problem. But after Balabayis in Bnei Beis, so Lo Shai Gezel Klal, Shirei HaKol Shalo, the father of the house owns all the chicken, so there's not going to be any Gezel going on over here. Mokol Mokam Aser Dilma Asila Sruche Bakubia. You're teaching your children the idea of gambling. And he says a different Issa Durabanan, which is interesting. Someone pointed out it comes out of Gezerah to a Gezerah. But even nevertheless, this is the Mishnah Berurah I'm reading to you. He says, to do this kind of gambling with your children, you could lead them to do proper gambling. And he says, Asi the Sruche Bakubia imacherim. Ubacherim vadai osser. It's definitely osser. Bechol v'kol shekein b'shavas. If you invite your neighbors over and you do this, let's say on a week they have a barbecue and you have a big argument, who gets the big burger, who gets the little burger? He says, this is definitely osser. And certainly on Shabbos, the Kubia dami, lemech chumemkar. On Shabbos is a problem of buying and selling. So everybody should know the cases of gambling do unfortunately get very close to home. We should take to heart the words of Shulchan Aruch, which said, "She'ein ruy la'adam yisay kol yomav elu b'divrei chacham v'yishu shal oylam," and we should be zeicher to be as kol b'im heru v'yameinu. So.
Yeah.